This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks, Sanjay, for taking the time today to come on our show. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure to meet you, Pat. Pleasure to be on your show. Thank you so much.
Why don't we start off, Andre, if you can please introduce yourself and your company.
Yeah, sure. I'm Andre Palagian, the CEO of Nations Translation Group. It's a group of companies that we provide language services. I've been in that industry for quite since maybe 2010, 14 years now, and have a history of 25 years in business development. That's my background. The company that I manage is specialized in language services. So we provide from content creation, translation, interpretation, you know, e-learning, e-commerce, and up recently, you know, artificial intelligence. So we kind of serve all kind of language services from A to Z, turnkey solutions.
And how long has the business been up and running?
So the company was founded about 35 years ago. Where the former founder and owner started the business with the mission of translating content for the federal government. And that's how it began.
And so when did you come into the picture, Andre, into this existing business?
So about 5 years ago, the company was sold to shareholders. They are indigenous from different communities in Canada. And they had a mission to, you know, take this company and evolve it. So I was chosen to lead this innovation and roadmap. And I came to this company in April 2022. So it's been almost 2 years and a half now. And yeah, my mission was to establish the vision that I had, taking that company from different era to a new era, which is the next generation.
Was that a challenge, Andre? You know, you coming in to an existing company that's been around for 25 years and you're coming in as a fresh face. What was that like for you?
Oh, definitely. So you have to look at the history of the company, the reputation, including its positive and negatives, right? And one of the things that I took challenge with is rebranding the company. So the company was branded under the founder's name as a personal name, and it wasn't in line with where we wanted to take the company to the next level. So that was a big challenge into killing almost 30 years of history of a brand and starting a new brand. But it was very successful because it was very thoughtful. We put all the ideas into the branding, the logos, the image of the company that we want to be. So keeping in that the DNA of the company today being indigenous owned, but also highlighting the innovative and the futuristic part of the business that we do in technology and generation of AI today.
Did you do anything special to get that messaging across to some of the older constituents, you know, people involved with the company from maybe from the beginning, or at least it's in the initial growth stages of it?
Oh, yeah. So we had to go first through a whole cultural change, right? So the company is changing, restructuring, remodeling, right? From top down, so we have to strip everything down and rebuild a model that looks like the company that we want it to be. And yes, at every step, there was a communication handled between all the stakeholders and the contributors, from staff to partners and freelancers that we do business with. It was important that this was delivered to them to understand the purpose and the vision of the company. And that's how they began part of that journey, and they were excited to see the outcome. So that led and helped into this success. Certainly, there was a lot of support in marketing advertising as well, which was key into achieving that awareness that we wanted to.
Andre, what advice would you give to somebody that's listening that, you know, may own an older brand, thinking of a refresh, but is hesitant to do so because of that past history? You've been through it. You've done it successfully. What advice would you give to that person?
Well, I'm a risk taker, right? So in everything you do, even in investment, there's a risk that you have to do. And people, they fear of the unknown. Sometimes when you think about rebranding or remodeling, you would say, hey, I would change everything that I have designed and built over many years, So how would this impact my business? If it's well designed, they shouldn't fear that. Actually, they should look forward into what the future of their industry or their business could look like and how they would like to position their company within their market land and the landscape, right? So it's very, very important. And I think it's no new that from giant companies, global giant, you know, either product or service providers, they rebrand into that purpose to have a fresh look, right? Especially with innovation and today, new generation. So you want to resemble to today's generation. Your company's branding could be 30 years old or 40 years old, even 20 years old. It is always important to do this facelift to your company and start over, right? I'm not over from scratch, but start a new era of your business. And it's always positive.
Yeah, and you know, for our listeners out there that may be struggling with this idea, you know, we've done a fair bit of this with the company that I own, where we're rebranding other companies that are older and hesitant to do so. But if you do it properly and you inform all of the, both your internal and external customers or clients before the launch, you know, they buy into the whole, and it can be really rejuvenating for the brand. It can even be rejuvenating for some of the staff that have been there a long time to see that it's a perceived growth.
100%. And believe it or not, the day that you start with a new look, people are just curious to know what changed in your business. So that curiosity opened opportunities for the business. And if you're ready and you designed well your business and your model of operation, you're now impressing them with the new outcome that you have. Guess what? You're going to be exponentially grow. And that's what we experienced in the first, at the beginning of that journey.
You mentioned your background, Andre, was in business development. What skills from your business development experience have you taken to and applied in your role now as CEO of this new organization?
I think you could grow to a CEO from different business units. You could be from operation, from finance, and from business development. I have passion for sales and business development since I started, you know, my career. Where the beauty of that is you would get access to learn a lot about different industries, different businesses, different solutions, being solution oriented in your mind and understand how market and market needs are and how it evolves. So that part, I invested all this knowledge that I have, including your competitive intel, right? So when you're in business development, you understand the market, you understand the landscape, your competition. So you know how to distinguish yourself to be successful. So certainly I have employed all that knowledge into the business modeling. And because I come with years of experience understanding also the industry that I work in, I did not want the company to be catching up to where the industry is. I wanted to go beyond and become the new kid on the block. This is the new generation. This is where companies are excited to see an evolution in their industry. Again, catching up, it wasn't the right strategy. When you catch up, you're still behind. When you go beyond, everyone is amazed and they want to catch up to you now.
I'm curious, Andre, you mentioned the word, the concept of having passion for business development. Where did that come from with you when you started out in that career?
Interesting. So I never knew that, right? So when I was still in my late teen years, I was still at university, and someone that I met, I was studying banking and finance. And someone I met, he says that I had a great persona, that he wanted to offer me a job in sales, which I started working for that gentleman who was inspiring for me at the beginning of my career, and shed light on qualities I had. And I was just learning about myself, experiencing what I could do at that young age, you know, talking to top level people and exploring businesses and expanding, you know, sales and markets. So this is where I started. And I knew that I had those skills that I can build on as a business development person. Yeah. So I never worked in banking and finance, and I have another education and degree in computer science, but I never worked in both. I used both into what I do in my world, is using finance to the purpose of being, you know, successful in the business and the computer science is the algorithm how you find your solutions and you keep on innovating and improving.
We run into a number of entrepreneurs that we work with that don't want to do business development, even though they're a small company. And I try to stress to that individual that you've got to commit to this. Nothing happens until a sale is made. Sales cures all. You know, if your business is struggling, sales is only going to help. And if you really believe in what you are doing or the service you're offering or the product that you have available, then you're almost doing a disservice to the marketplace by not making them aware of it. And I find once we put it like that, a bit of a light bulb goes off over their head and they realize, yeah, maybe I am. But in your, you know, in your peer group or anyone maybe that you may have mentioned, have you run into this as well? Where they're hesitant?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I completely agree with you, Pat. So a lot of times when I'm speaking to small company owners and founders, they do ask me, how do you guys are growing? Like, how do you do this? And the first question when I ask them, how many salespeople do you have? And they have none. Typically, small business owners, they like to sell their own business, right? Because they think I know my business the best. It could be, but you don't know how to put it in a sales context. You don't know how to shed value on what you do. And sales, like you said, revenue cures every ill. And in our businesses, small business, revenue is king. So what I recommend, do not hesitate. Sales is not an expense. It's an investment. So a small company that has no salespeople or a very small sales team will not grow, will not see evolution. You need to invest in sales. You need to believe in that. And it doesn't have to be from your industry. When I was recruited to work in the language industry, I had no experience in the language industry. I was recruited because of my knowledge of leading sales from, you know, determining or identifying an opportunity to closing. When you master a sales process, that's where you succeed. So don't look for salespeople who understand only your niche business. Hire professional salespeople that can take your business to the next level.
That's great advice and kind of leads us into our kind of advice section of the podcast now. So Andre, someone listening, they own a business, they may be struggling. What piece of advice would you give them?
Oh, that's the opportunity. So when you're struggling, you have to pause, step back, zoom out on your business, say, what is not working in my business? Why am I struggling? And believe it or not, this year, I think a lot of businesses are struggling because of the economical factors that we have. So Canada's growth is below 1% this year. It's killing us. Despite, you look, if you do business with government or private sector, so government, they had $15 billion of budget cuts over 5 years, right, affecting all industries and sectors. And you look at the private sector, the interest rates are still high. Capitals and investments are on hold. Companies are looking maybe to invest into innovation versus services and products, right? So they want to become more efficient. So, and it's an opportunity for you to look at your production model or your processes or your business model to say, and that should be also the way to go all the time. Whatever worked last year doesn't work this year. You should be changing and evolving every year or every phase. And you would be surprised how much you can do and achieve by looking at simplification, automation. So today there's a lot of technology that allow you to do a lot more with a lot less. And that could be. And also sometimes we're stuck maybe with our footprint. So we could be saturated in a certain market. We should start looking at where is the next market for us. Sometimes we think it could be just next door or else. I suggest that you look at market analysis. Look at large companies in your industry and sector. See where the growth is coming from. Right? Sometimes you think, oh, it could be Europe. It could be the United States. It could be a certain province or a state. But this market stats gives you good indicators how you can amplify your growth quickly and strategically.
Would you agree with this statement, Andre, that as business owners, we're too close to our own businesses and sometimes we can't see where the problems are?
Yes, for sure. And I'm an active CEO, so I'm a working CEO. I'm with my team every day, working with every business unit. And there are some days where I feel I can't even, you know, step out to, again, go back to strategizing and do that. So if you are a small company owner or a CEO of a small business, you're definitely swamped into what every day-to-day business is. and you're not finding the time to step back, zoom out, re-engineer what you have and say, okay, that's how it should be changing. You always have to find that time for you. Don't be scared to delegate responsibilities. Sometimes we think that we can do the job better than the others. Regardless of that, we want to train them to become better than us. If you are surrounded by great people and you actually mentor them and help them to become better, you'll become a better CEO and a better leader of the company.
You mentioned, Andre, you know, zooming out and taking a different approach or a different look at your business. Is that something that you're suggesting the entrepreneurs should do on their own? Should they do it with maybe a consultant or a mentor or someone giving them advice? Or do you think it's better if they're just doing it themselves?
Thank you for highlighting that. That, yes, again, I forget to say that maybe not every entrepreneur and every business manager can have the mindset or the ideas of what to do. So yes, there are consultants out in the market that you can reach out to. There are consultants that can come also with, I mean, without naming, but there are Canadian financial institutions that do offer services to help small businesses, you know, grow within Canada and internationally. So don't hesitate. This is not an expense. This is an investment. And I can just give an example. About 2 years ago, we were about to scale down, thinking that maybe outsourcing was a better solution for us. But hiring consultants, understanding really our business and our data, made us change completely our mind into reinvesting in hiring more people. So, and sometimes there are gears that you need to shift. You probably, and I'm someone who's very experienced in the industry, that I know every corner of our business, but I don't pretend to know beyond what I know today. I need to have people that can inspire me to make changes. So if you're a CEO or you're an entrepreneur and you think that you know best of your business, always consider that someone else might inspire you to do something else that you've never seen before and can make a good impact on your business.
And what advice would you give to someone that's listening that may be thinking of starting a business, but they're just not sure either they're the first step or maybe they're a bit hesitant? What advice would you give to that person?
For startup, it's different. Startups, you should start by the idea, what would be different in my business than the other existing ones in the market? And if you have innovative ideas, something new, I can tell you, Canada, from the federal government to other Canadian agencies, they invest and provide grants and financement to such ideas. So it depends what kind of a startup you are. If you're a startup in a business of something, you know, just trying to be, you know, copying a business model or a certain business, right? I mean, this is known in our industry, or not just industry, known market, that people I see, you know, someone opened that type of business, I can do the same. You could do the same, but just to try to distinguish yourself. So what's the value prop that I have versus these other ones that will make me position my business differently and develop a market for myself? This is one. And for the second, who's innovative, starting up with a new idea that's going to be a different product, a different from the, seek grants and financement from the federal government and from government programs. You can find a lot of investments right there. Things I would tell them, you have to be patient. It's going to be a painful journey. It's not going to be easy. You're going to be doing a lot of lesson learned. You're going to probably lose some money here and there. You need to have that that patience and stamina to survive this first phase. But eventually you see, you know, you will be learning and fixing all your issues. And at some point, when you feel you're tired, this is where your business starts. So don't sell or don't give up at that point. This is where the business starts. When you start feeling, I've got enough, this is where you start. You've already established the pillars. Now the company is ready to grow, but you feel, I'm tired.
It's interesting, that comment, because when we're doing consulting for some clients, there's typically a company that's been around. It seems to be the magic number is around 15 to 17, somewhere in that range, number of years old. And you can see they've been plateauing for the last few years. And, you know, it's, at the end of the day, it's the owner's decision. They want to grow or not. There's nothing wrong with that. But you really do have to be careful that if you're not growing, that you're not slipping in the other direction, because it wouldn't take much before you start going backwards. Would you agree with that?
Yes. And the, you know, I have a different opinion when companies are hit a plateau, right? And they keep it for long, like it keeps on running for many years. My observation, I see companies, they say, oh no, I'm not going to do, that's my offer, that's my service, or that's my product, right? I can't, if they want that level of product, if they want that, they have to pay my price. And that's why they're limited. So they get to a capacity where they cannot sell more. I always give this example, take any kind of product or service. I always use this because I'm a fan, but take Mercedes-Benz, right? You can buy an S-Class, fully loaded, top technology, costs $200,000, but you can still buy an A-Class that costs maybe $40,000, but still a Mercedes. So if you think your company product or service, you want to always be known as the Cadillac or the Mercedes of your market, it doesn't mean that I have to be just stuck with that level. I can create different service levels or product levels to say I can diversify and it can sell to big corporations, smaller, different markets, and that's how you can expand. And sometimes maybe they're not stuck with that. They're just stuck with the demand of the market because that's my footprint. I have to look at the other footprint. By what I said, you have to look at market analysis and market studies to say, where's the next market for me to go? And another alternative is, what can I do to complement what I'm offering in order to add? So I'm offering turnkey solutions. So I'm not selling one product or one service. It's a combination of a solution that I'm selling.
Great advice. Hey, Andre, before we went live, you were telling me a little bit about some of the great work that you're company does in our community. Can you share that with our listeners?
Oh, yes. So we have an amazing shareholder board. They come from different indigenous cultures. And what's important, if people are not familiar, because I wasn't, I just got to learn that, they have very core values in their culture to give back to community. So not necessarily just to indigenous communities, we give back to community in general. So we give back in donations, in scholarship, in internship. We provide opportunities for a lot of things. So that's part of what our team does and our company does continuously. And 2 years and a half ago when I started, I established our, I think we were the first to have a fully ESG policy at the company. And it resonated, it made the whole news. And with that, even we attracted more business to do business with us because they saw that we have this corporate responsibility against the community. So yes, that's something that we are proud of. And we feel like we have this duty to give back to community and work with them.
Andre, we're out of time here, but before we let you go, where can our listeners find out more about your company and yourself?
So if you want to find about our company, it's on www.nationstranslation.com, or you can check my LinkedIn profile, Andre Pelagin. You will find me at Nations. So all my coordinates, and if you would like to reach out for any advice or just a conversation or have a coffee together, I'd be very happy to do so.
Thanks, Andre, for doing this. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you for being on your show. It's a pleasure.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.